welcome to Manx Radio's 2026 House of Keys General Election Candidate Interview Series. I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm our election producer here. With just 11 weeks to go now until the Isle of Man heads to the polls, we've offered each of the candidates the chance to take part in a 30-minute interview with us. We're finding out who they are, why they're standing, and why they think they're the right person for the job. Today, it's the turn of André Richer, who's standing in middle. He's been interviewed by Phil Gorn.
Falch erugus rias cage and shears feed. Today, I'm talking to André Richer, who's standing for the first time. And I'll start with a nice, gentle, easy question for you, just to get you warmed up, so to speak. Why do you want to be an MHK? What's your motivation for standing?
Oh, thank you for inviting me to your session. You're not the first person who asked me this question. People say, are you mad to go for the MHK? I'm a surgeon. I'm making, if you want to look from the material point of view, probably 4 to 5 times more money than an MHK makes. The reason for me going to MHK is not for money, definitely not for money, nor for social status or for anything else. I've lived on this island for 16 years. I've been working in a place called Nobis Hospital. I'm a surgeon there, consultant surgeon. I've had different roles there. I was clinical director for surgery in an atmosphere, during COVID, atmosphere of a lot of toxicity. And now I'm the chair of the medical staff committee. So if you look at Nobis Hospital, Nobis Hospital is in a way failing. I'm sorry to say this bluntly, failing to serve the population the way it should. And I think, after working there for 16 years, knowing the ins and outs of the healthcare system, I think I have the, I think that I hold the key to solve the problem. And that's why I'm going there. Again, going to politics, you cannot say that I'm going only for one particular domain. I lived on this island for 16 years. Sorry. I share the problems that every single individual who lives on the island shares with. I'm also proud to be called Manx. I'm not born Manx, but I do have the Manx passport. I'm proud of it. And I'm also proud to call this island my home. And at the same time, so there are other issues which are similar to what healthcare suffers from in every single department, and these need to be tackled.
Okay, well, we'll yes, go on. Now that you've introduced the topic, I mean, it would be wrong of me not to move straight in then on the priorities, because we asked all the candidates what their priorities were, and not unsurprisingly, the top of your list was the NHS, the health service and the island. And, you know, you've mentioned a few things there that you see potentially need to change. I mean, we've just really gone through a fairly difficult 5-6 year period of trying to introduce something that was recommended to us that was going to solve all these problems. Why has that not worked?
Well, that's probably a bit more difficult question, not in terms of question, but more difficult to answer. Why it doesn't work? I think, first of all, let me put it this way. The coming 5-6 years will be more difficult than the previous 5-6 years. And the reason is that I'll go again on finance, because finance is the essence of war, actually. Money is the essence of war. Not real war, but war in general. We are living on the reserves, okay? And then, you know that every few years' time, 5-6 years, they bring actuaries to look at these reserves. And unfortunately, the last provision says that we may not survive. Probably the reserve will be short of paying in 2036. So, going back to your question now, why we failed, Probably because we don't put the right persons in the right job. And again, I'm sorry to say it. There's no right, good way of saying it. Do we get, as MHKs, do we get the right people to be elected? That's a question I won't answer, but I think the answer isn't the question. Are we getting the right people for the job as MHK? And even if we get the right people, are we putting them in the right place? Okay. Is it not that the MHKs are just passive observers and agreeing with whoever is in these departments? And the other thing, if you allow me to dwell on this issue, the other thing is that look at the form of our government. We don't have one government. We do have 9 separate governments. Actually 8, and the chief minister, who's with all the good of the world, does not have enough power. And I spoke with Alf a few months ago about a certain topic where we agreed together on certain. His answer was, I wish I had the powers of the American president.
Right. Well, therein lies another issue. But, I mean, specifically, where has Manx Care failed in your view?
Again, similar pseudonymic findings as in any other department. The head is there. The top is there. Probably not the right persons. We have seen multiple ministers, depending on CEO.
But the ministers aren't the head of Manx Care.
No.
Manx Care is a separate agency. And it was established to run the Manx healthcare service. That's the point. And effectively, the minister and the team in DHSC set the priorities, and then Manx Care are expected to deliver. So why is that not happening?
Yes, I mean, the issue, if we want to go to the pathogenesis of, I'm talking medical terms, how the pathology develops. They know that healthcare needs a certain budget. I think this year we reached 412 million, and there are another 20, 30, or 40 million coming. This money is not given in one go. It's given in multiple sections, so that every time the minister or the ministry, okay, the DHSC is called, please come and support us. In a way, there's some control over it from outside. Now, let's go to your question, why inherently we failed inside. Inherently we failed because some people would disagree. We are not medically led. And I think medically led organizations have proven everywhere in the world that they are much better for patients' outcome, and also they are cost improving, because doctors and other clinicians know what they are doing. We know what to do. I can tell you a lot of money is being spent on administrative errors. We do send patients to Liverpool that should not be sent. People have appointments while they book for an appointment and the appointment is cancelled. You come to the clinic, this patient is still on the clinic. I'm not going to go into details. A lot of these minute problems, which when you accumulate it together, make a big difference in the outcome. And at the same time, I can say administrative bloating, like in any other organization. A lot of management. We have more managers than we have Indians on the ground. What we need managers, of course, But we don't need the neckties like myself. We need people who pull their sleeves and walk on the ground. We need middle-grade managers. We need secretaries. Okay, this is what we need. No, we get more controllers. We have more bosses than people working on the ground.
And you said you talked about medical-led services. Now, we had some example of that probably 15, 20 years ago when the medical side was far more in control, and we found situations where lists were being managed, waiting lists were being managed to encourage patients to think about going private, which then resulted in consultants getting more money because they were going to get private patients instead of using the publicly available time. That was the kind of thing that the likes of Manx Care, I guess, was introduced to try and stop happening. So can you see that there is another side to that argument?
Absolutely. And actually, I would take it from a different angle. I think Manx Care, I wouldn't point the finger to Manx Care. Let's say the actual system, rather than being accusative, the actual system today is trying to build a private parallel section. I think private care is important. When I came to the island, I saw that the island should be a medical touristic destination. We should have top-level medical standards to attract people to come here. And I believe that the private care that you are talking about, I'm not saying no, I don't disagree with what you said, that some doctors do that, and today they are still doing it. And this is something we have to fight against. Private care should be in support to NHS, not in competition. So if you are a private patient, you should not go before somebody else. Your system will be parallel, but the income of the system should come to support. And this should be run by Manx Care itself and not run by a private organization like they are trying to do now for the benefit of individuals or for investing in their income into Cayman Islands or other tax paradises. The money is from here, should stay on the island, should be used on the island, and should be used for the benefit of the Manx people.
We've almost halfway through the interview, believe it or not, and it is probably time that we moved on to some of your other priorities. Now, one of the other priorities that you mentioned was housing. Tell us what you see as the problem in relation to housing, first of all, and then how would you fix it?
Well, housing is a huge problem. I can see one of my assistants today is refurbishing his house. He cannot even find a house to lodge in. I tried to intervene with the Manx Care managers to be able to keep him in the accommodations. You cannot find even a house to rent, not even to buy. The problem is people who buy houses for investment. That's the problem. And I think it will be very difficult for, I think I mentioned, first-time house buyers to be able to buy houses. I won't give details, but I've heard of one billionaire who lives on the island. I know who is, but I don't. Owns 15,000 housing properties. Okay, that's not acceptable. Okay, so how to?
And you say 15,000 or 1,500?
1,500. Sorry, 1,500.
Right, okay. 1,500. I was going to say that. So, 15,000.
I'm sorry.
Over 25%.
Yeah, 1,500.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 1,500 properties. And they're all just as investment. And this is not acceptable. Mm. Then the other thing is...
So what would you propose to do to stop that?
Well, to give facilities to first-time house buyers. The government has a lot of properties, lands. They can build houses in these lands at a cheaper rate, okay? Because first of all, the land is theirs. they don't need to bring external companies because these external companies make already benefit on that. So these houses are already cheaper in cost for the government.
So, I mean, you raised the 1,500 houses owned by one person. Is that acceptable?
I don't see it as acceptable.
So how do you, how would you overcome that particular issue?
So maybe impose taxes on if you own more than two houses or three houses, then the taxes should go proportionally more important. Today, people pay very little stamp on their housing properties. So this is one of the ways. And then, whoever buys the house as first buyer, offer facilities to be able to buy these houses, like shared equities. And these shared equities may be also used in the future. Either the person can buy the house completely, or this shared equity that the government still owns can be used when this patient goes to retirement, this person goes to retirement, to pay a residential home. Because I was shocked to hear that a residential home costs around $1,600 every month if you need care with it. And I know few people I know personally who have lost all the heritage of their parents because of that.
Another of your suggested priorities was transparency in public accounts. I mean, explain a bit more what you mean by that.
Well, everything that has to be done via the government should be clear. I can give you example of the wind farms. Okay, I think this is one of my priorities. Definitely is one of mine.
Yeah.
I'm personally against for many reasons, but the government has been negotiating with this company since 2015, and nothing is clear about it. So they claim there are 60 million benefit per year. Where are these 60 million? Is there any document to prove that? They claim that we are going to use electricity from it. Where is it proven this? They are going to exploit our land, our waters, for the sake of the UK. And at the end, when they leave, we may have to pay a few hundred millions to get rid of whatever they built. So this is where transparency is needed. The government should tell the people. And the other thing I'm also in favor, that's my personal opinion, is what you call public opinions. Okay, so referendums.
Yeah.
So many people don't agree on referendums. I had a friend who just told me this morning Brexit was based on a referendum. It was a total disaster. I do agree it was a disaster. However, we live in democracies. Okay, if the people want option A rather than option B, and if option A is wrong, that's what the people want. We have to respect the people's wishes. And then it is always, the referendums can always go back to backwards. We can always vote against in the future. If we think that this is wrong, then we can always correct. The argument that the government uses against referendums is that it costs, I think they say, 300,000 or 400,000 per referendum. That's not correct. A referendum can be done online. Okay, but we have to respect the people's choices. Whatever you take, whatever topic you ask me, there's no right and wrong answer. What is right today may be wrong tomorrow. Okay, I can tell you examples in medicine.
Well, let's use one of the examples you raised earlier. I mean, you said that you were against wind farms for a range of reasons. What are you for? I mean, do you, for example, support the idea that the Isle of Man should have some level of energy security?
Well, there are different areas where that can be explored in terms of this. Ultimately, I think non-fossil sources should be used. But however, we have to wait for evolution. At this present moment, this cost fortunes. Now, the one thing, definitely the island should be sufficient. I have no doubt about that. I think the current system is not bad. I think it is the power station is in Pilrose. Okay, it can be improved. But
we are wholly reliant on oil and gas being imported into the Isle of Man from increasingly unstable parts of the world.
Yes. Now the other thing is that you know that there have been trials to find gas in our waters. BP used the eastern coast, I think, and they found gas, but only at 2 kilometers depths, which is cost a lot of money to explore. However, there is another company which explored, I think it was Krogan, in Macold.
Yeah.
Okay. And this, unfortunately, their contract expired in 2025. We already invested a lot of money in it. Why not to explore it further? Already a lot of investment was done there.
So you would support gas exploration. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In terms then of other aspects of government, I mean, what would you change in relation to the way that Isle of Man government runs its affairs?
As I said, I am more for a unified government, and not. There's a word that is derived from French, and I. One of my friends was an ex-MHK. I've used it. I don't know if you have heard it. FIEF. Fiefdoms.
Yep.
So the government works in fiefdoms. Have you heard this word before? Hmm. Okay. So it's a kind of historic landlord properties. Each one is a... I think we need a unified government. A government where the chief minister has power. Actually, the only power that the chief minister has today is to sack and appoint a new minister. That's all. And the rest is, they work as 9 independent entities. At the end, your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. Sometimes they go in contradiction. You have the mad barge spending... That also.
Well, okay. I mean, you say that the only power a chief minister has. I mean, surely to goodness, and maybe you can you'll give your view on this. What is the point of having MHKs? I mean, what is the fundamental responsibility of MHKs?
Well, the MHKs are to check on the government that the government is doing the right thing.
But the government is made up of the MHKs.
Yes.
So presumably they do more than just check up on themselves.
Well, I mean, they have to check on not all of them are part of the government. Some of them are backbenchers. Okay, so those who are backbenchers, their job is to check on the MHKs.
But I suppose the question is, you know, what is it that your role is as an MHK? You know, what is it that you do that is different to if you were just paid as an auditor or whatever, you know, what fundamentally is different about a politician?
Well, I mean, if you look at the role of an MHK as an MHK, is a kind of member of parliament that has to care for his community. Hmm. Okay. However, the role here is not just because the whole of the island is similar to one MP in UK. Eventually, you have constituents in UK which are bigger than 85,000. Okay, so. And here also I can answer your first question, why do I want to do MHK? I've been doing MHK for 16 years. I've been helping people. People contact me from everywhere, and I try to help them if I can. 90% are hospital-related, and I do treat them. I do treat my NHS patients sometimes better than private patients, and I do help. If I can, I help.
I suppose
this is what the role of an MHK is.
Fundamentally, though, as a politician, if you want to get anything done in our system, you have to be able to convince your colleagues. So how good are you at working with others? Are you a team player?
I'm definitely a team player. Okay, and I think, and this is one of the, actually, it is an excellent question. And my original idea, which failed, unfortunately, it failed because I did not have time to do it. I started by doing something called the Menin Independent Alliance, where people from right or left, center, whatever, are there, and to select good people to be MHKs, people who have a certain ideas and a certain devotion to the island, and people who are not coming there for just for interest to have a good retirement or to have a good salary. However, again, a better way to attract good people is to make the salary of an MHK higher. I'm not saying this because I'm going to be MHK, but I think to be able to attract good people, you need to have good salaries. Why would a banker who has 200,000, 300,000 income go to accept to have 60 or 70,000? You should make a good motive. So my idea was to make an alliance where this alliance have good people, people who probably do not need money. Originally, the MHKs were not paid, as far as I remember. It was a devotion, originally. So have MHKs who go for the job, not for the money, to go and select the right people for this job. And this is what I think is ideal. If I'm elected, I will go back to my original idea. I failed because I did not have time for it. I got people, I got 50, 60 people around. Okay. However, none of them was happy to engage further because we're going to an unknown, a question mark future.
But ultimately, you will be sat in the House of Keys with people who you fundamentally disagree with. And somehow, if you're going to get your agenda through, you're going to have to be able to persuade them.
Well,
so how do you do that?
Well, I mean, the best way to convince people is to provide evidence, okay? And evidence is available everywhere, okay? The problem of, as I said, is our level sometimes is not a scientific level, okay? And people are put in the wrong places, so, and this is left to departments are not being run by MHKs, are run by other people who have been there for years. And I don't want to be particularly hitting at specific categories, but CEOs, for example, they run the departments, okay?
Okay.
Is that convincing?
In some cases, you might be right. Well, believe it or not, we're almost at the end of the allotted 29 minutes that we have. So we've got just a minute or so left for you to tell us, in a nutshell, why people should vote for you.
Well, as I said, I've been doing this job for 16 years. I do hold my Manx nationality close to my heart. I think this is my country now. This is what I consider home. I think in helping people, I cannot say that 100% of people I operated on or I served are happy. There's definitely 5-6% where I had surgical complications. But I think if you look at it, just I operate probably around 10,000 people. If 9,000 of these are happy, I think I'm happy myself. Now, would I be sad if I'm not elected? Of course I would be sad if I'm not elected. Not because I wanted the job at all, because nobody likes to fail, and I've done my best to succeed. And I think people who know me will know that I'm probably the right person for the job, because my devotion goes beyond any explainable limit. Mm-hmm.
That was André Richer, who's hoping to represent Middle in the House of Keys. Also standing in the constituency are Alf Kane, Jason Moore and Simon Sinclair. This interview, along with all the others recorded as part of this series, will be available shortly after broadcast from your usual podcast provider. And don't forget, we have everything you need to know about the election, which is taking place on Thursday the 24th of September, on our dedicated website, which you can find at manxradio.com.